I'm Jay O'Day, and this is my show, Is Anything Sacred Anymore?, where I talk to the people around me about the things that are most important to them. Welcome, Miranda. Let's go ahead and get started. So, who are you?
I'm Miranda. I'm almost 22, and I'm very excited about that because I love my birthday. I'm a Cancer, and that says a lot about me. Basically, every meme ever about being a Cancer, I relate with.
Okay, I know nothing about astrology, so tell me what being a Cancer means.
Being a Cancer means, so it's a water sign, which means that I'm like stereotypically just very emotional.
Okay.
But also, I think it means that I'm like creative, and I'm very kind sometimes to a point where I just care only about pleasing other people.
Okay, sure. Yeah. All right.
And yeah, but I'm also like confident. That's what I guess being a Cancer means to me. But I also have a Leo moon, and Leos are like the lions who are like very, very confident. They're
okay.
Known for their confidence. And so they pair very well together.
Okay.
I'm confident, but also like I want to help and make the people around me happy.
Right on. So you kind of have this caregiving kind
of
thing.
Although it feels weird being like, I'm a caregiver. Oh. I feel like that, you know, I don't know. I don't want people to think that I'm think highly of myself.
But, you know, what's true is true, right?
Yeah, I try.
Okay. So what do you do, Miranda?
I'm a writer.
Okay.
I love to write to a point where I don't even know if I love to write is the right word. It just happens. It just pours out of me and I cannot help it. I love to learn. I am graduating next spring and terrified because, I mean, I'll still learn things, but I am like the weirdo who just loves school. The first day of school is my favorite holiday, which is really weird that I even count it as a holiday. But I love like learning in that kind of setting. What else do I do? I like to create. I like to sit outside underneath trees in the summertime, which means that I don't really have much to do in the wintertime because there's a lot of snow on the ground. And it's hard to do that.
Okay.
That's what I do.
Right on. Okay. So tell me about your history with organized religion.
I grew up Mormon. I was raised in the church. I was the epitome of, you know, a very Mormon girl. I was the one they could always count on, you know,
okay,
to do whatever. And I went on a mission to Oregon where my whole, like, relationship with the church changed a lot. I saw a lot of people living the aspects of the church that were, or I guess maybe not living aspects of the church that I felt were like fundamental.
Okay.
And so then that led just to me being like, what do I believe? What do I believe? Not necessarily I believe this church is true, but like underneath that, what drives me? So I came home and, I mean, the whole country was in upheaval for, like, thousands of reasons.
Okay, when was this?
I came home in 2020.
Okay.
So I came home during COVID. Mm-hmm. And then months later, a lot of the Black Lives Matter protests started to happen. And with the election, and there was just a lot of people voicing their opinions.
Sure.
Which then led me to question and like really consider mine. And it put me in a position where I didn't feel so comfortable in the places, like religiously, I didn't feel comfortable in church.
Okay.
Like I always had been, because I would go and just feel like it was not working with what I believed.
Okay.
Inside of myself.
When you say not working, what was it not doing?
It was not adding anything. It was a very negative feeling. I wasn't feeling like uplifted.
Okay.
And for me, that's what I want my faith and spiritual ideals to do. I want them to, I guess, make me I want them to add to my happiness and not feel like a burden.
Okay.
And they were kind of feeling like a burden. I felt like I was getting pulled into different directions with like, what do I actually believe versus what I've always been taught? And they just weren't working together. And so ultimately, I guess there has never been any like formal leaving of the church. I just stopped going to church on Sundays. And I mean, in and out for the last like 2 years, I would go through different, I guess, phases.
Sure.
And that's kind of where I am today. I've had to work through a lot of my, like, I don't feel like I have a lot of necessarily like a tangible or like even like specific issues that I can like name or anything.
Sure.
And I just kind of go by what I'm feeling in the moment.
Okay.
And so if I'm vibing with whatever's going on, and if being a Mormon feels good one day, I lean into that.
Okay.
And then if the next day I don't, I'm just like, okay, well, it's a weird place to be, and it makes no sense even as I'm like living it, let alone trying to explain it. But I feel like it's kind of like the epitome of your 20s, just feeling like you're kind of tossed back and forth and like trying to figure out what is constant and what is stable. I'm still very much just getting tossed back and forth and trying to figure out what's constant for me.
Sure.
And I'm also not really in a rush.
Okay.
Yeah,
right on. So you said earlier that it wasn't working for you mm-hmm. anymore. Was there a time of your life where you could say that that it was, where it was definitely working for you, like adding?
Oh, for sure.
What was that like?
Honestly, so for most of my life, it was adding. I really liked that it gave me something that I could always go back to. I really don't like, well, I'm learning to be able to handle uncertainty
okay.
better, but like I have not handled that well throughout my whole life. And so it was really nice to be able to be like, oh, well, I believe all of this, like this bullet list of things
yeah.
is true. And I don't have to worry about thinking about that.
Sure.
I can focus on other aspects of my life, other things that I need to do. And so for honestly, most of my life, it's been very uplifting and very beneficial for me. And that's kind of why I have a weird kind of relationship with it, because there's not much that really happened, especially to me personally.
Sure.
That has driven me away or left me with any kind of bitter taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Because I think partially because it's made me who I am to an extent, but also because when it works, when it was working for me, it was working. And
yeah.
It was giving me confidence and it was giving me hope and all of those things that I guess I find in similar places still, but also in even more places. I guess now my scope isn't so narrow. It's just more expanded. Whereas before it was a lot more specific.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that like before, when it was working, it had like, that was, I'm going to like take a leap here. That was like the only source
yes.
to get what it was that you needed to get, to have that, spiritual value added in your life. And that part of what changed was that you saw that there might be more sources.
Yes.
For getting that need met.
Yes. That is like the perfect way to explain it. I guess my mind is just realizing and recognizing the same or similar, you know, feelings and experiences elsewhere other than just these few situations where I was kind of taught this is where, I don't even know the word to describe it, spirituality or sacredness is.
Okay.
Now it's a lot more broad.
Right on. So Where do you place yourself now? Like, how do you think of yourself now?
I try not to. Just kidding. That is a good question. If I'm being completely honest, it really depends on the day.
Okay.
It depends on whatever I'm vibing with at the moment. I kind of hate that I just said the word vibing. That's not really my vibe. But there's like not really a specific word for it.
Okay.
I mean, like lately I've honestly been like, I've gone to church 3 weeks in a row and honestly okay. felt great. And
yeah.
it's been fine and not as like burdensome as it was.
Yeah.
And I've recognized specific reasons why it could possibly have been a bad experience when it was. Mm-hmm. But I am also not like tying myself down. This is not like a reactivation story.
Sure.
Of, you know, like it's just I'm doing what feels good to me right now. And that involves interacting with the church in a way that gives me, I guess, more purpose and inspires more like learning for me and like excitement, but then also not putting any of that like pressure that I think I had for a long time to be very like all or nothing.
Sure. Right on. So like you said earlier that you liked like the kind of like the stability, right, of having your questions answered, and that ambiguity made you uncomfortable, and that you said that you're learning to like be more comfortable with ambiguity. But what I'm also hearing is that you're in this transitional space where there's a ton of ambiguity and you don't really feel the need to like say this is what I am right now and what I'm going to be in the future, but that you're just kind of sitting in this space that's super ambiguous. How is that?
It has been, there have been a lot of times where I'm like, Miranda, can't you just pick? Like, come on. But it's also been hard because there's definitely a pressure to be all in regarding like the Mormon church, to be all in and then also, or to be all out. And I didn't want outside pressures to like define my relationship with the church, especially because my relationship with the church is more than just like teachings, but it's also a lot of my like heritage is woven deeply into it, and a lot of my relationships are woven into it as well. And so I didn't want to it to just be a okay, like one decision one day of I'm either gonna be all in or all out, and just I didn't want to think so black and white, which is something that I'm actually like working on in all aspects of my life. And so while I didn't want to do that, I also like the parts of me that are afraid of this ambiguity are like, but it would be really convenient if you could. And so it like wasn't really an option because I knew no matter what, I would be unsatisfied either way. But it's still been very uncomfortable. But in doing it, I've realized that I think a lot of my fear of this like middle area has come from the church and like things that we're taught.
And, for example,
well, I'm a very anxious person. And so one thing that I would always cling to in the church is phrases like, doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith, which is a quote, or doubt not, fear not, which is a scripture. They're the only things I even have memorized because they were the things that I would use to like fight against this part of me that was struggling just all the time. And in this space of ambiguity,
I don't have to be afraid anymore of my doubts. And I don't have to be afraid anymore of the questions that I have. I can seek answers for them for myself, but I also can just exist in a space of not knowing every answer to every question. And so I think that in realizing that, that's made this kind of gray space a lot more comfortable for me, where when I was a lot more entrenched in like the Mormon lifestyle, it was just this, like, you just didn't go near that. You just didn't entertain any questions or doubts. And some people would probably say that that's not actually true, but that was my experience with it.
Sure.
And so in stepping away from that aspect, it's made existing in this weird space a lot more doable and a lot more comfortable. But it's still weird. It's kind of lonely because there's not a ton of people who, especially because there's no like words you can put. Like, I can't like label myself anything. Oh. I hate labels just in general. I don't really like them at all. partially because I feel like a lot of parts of myself just don't fit into a label. But also labels help in finding like community and stuff. And so it's hard to exist in this area where in order for me to have kind of a bond, it takes like a full conversation instead of just like, you're this thing. I'm this thing too. And then an immediate kind of like bond is made.
Yeah. So while you're in this kind of like ambiguous space that you're going through, does it feel like like it's a place that you're kind of static in, or does it feel like you're heading in a direction, like setting aside where that direction is heading? Like, does it feel like you're moving?
I definitely feel like I'm moving, partially because I have a whole new belief system every day, which is exhausting. But I guess part of being young and just trying stuff on. But I think I'm definitely growing, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying about just expanding. Not so much like I'm headed in like a specific direction, like, you know, you kind of mentioned it doesn't matter what direction, but I'm just expanding in almost all directions, I feel like.
Okay.
And it's like every new thing that I learn or every new thing that I experience in relation to like my spirituality and other spiritual beliefs, things other people are believing, I just kind of add it to my bank. And it's something that, I mean, I don't believe everything because that would be really hard to do because sure. Lots of things contradict each other. But I guess I entertain the fact that all of these things could potentially be true. And so I'm definitely growing in a very weird way that is kind of directionless.
Okay.
Which doesn't help my need to like know where I'm headed. And so a lot of my spiritual existence at the moment is tackling a lot of like my fears, but in a good way that is beneficial, even though it's kind of also hard at the same time.
Could you see yourself staying here? Like just doing this?
I think that if I were to, I actually think about this a lot. I think about if I were to be married right now and if I were to have a kid, just because there are people my age who actually do that, which is so hard for me to comprehend, but I commend them for living their dreams. Anyway.
No sarcasm there.
I do think that it would be hard to, like, I think live a life parallel to mine or with me for like a partner, or especially if I were to be raising children with a parent who is just like a little bit all over the place. And one day I'm like, no, this is true. But okay, no, just kidding. The next day, this is true. I think that I would like some stability to come into my life eventually. But seeing as I am nowhere near that phase of my life, sure, where other people will be depending on me for stability, I'm kind of just embracing it for now. And I don't feel like I'm in a rush, like I said, because I'm nowhere near anyone depending on me. I just have myself, and I can take myself on this weird little adventure without hindering anyone else.
Yeah. Okay, right on. Okay, let's setting the past aside for a moment. Let's talk about where you are now. So we're going to talk about your beliefs, your current beliefs, like even if they're just a day. But tell me about the things you want to believe, the things that you want to be true.
I want, I like the idea that there's something bigger than just me. And I also like the idea of that, like, bigger thing actually just being like humankind as a whole and like all of us together. I do like the idea of a God. I also struggle with the idea of God that I have known.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend a lot of my time just entertaining different possible ideas of what God could possibly be. I guess, yeah, I want to believe that there's a God and that there's a being taking care of us, or beings. I'm open to that.
Sure.
But that also complicates a lot of other things, because I simultaneously am like, wait a second. Hold on. Maybe, like, how does it make sense? I have a hard time making sense of the things that are going on right now in the world and that have always gone on in the world, while simultaneously believing that there's this, like, deity watching over everyone.
But it is something you want.
Yeah.
What would the God that you want look like? I mean, not in the, mm-hmm, like, physical. I mean, you can say what he would look, what they would look like in the physical sense, but, like, in the metaphorical, in any sense. Like, what's that God like?
I think I have a hard time envisioning just one God, because I guess in my idea of God, God somehow represents everyone on the planet, and no one being, I don't think, can really do that.
Okay.
Or, like, fully comprehend the lived experiences of every single person on the planet. But I guess I've always believed in, like, right, this man,
yeah,
with the white beard who's, like, wearing robes. Sure. And to counteract that, I've been thinking of, not to counteract that, but to kind of, like, balance that out when I have this, like, idea of a God that I can't shake, because it's always there, this very, like, stereotypical Westernized Christian idea of a God. To kind of balance that out, I have this idea of, like, a woman who's a goddess, who's fat and not white and queer and somehow represents all of the other stuff, which is a heavy heavy burden, probably, to be all of the other things besides a cishet white man. But and that's why I feel like I have a hard time imagining just one God, especially if I'm picturing God as a human being, which I have a hard time picturing God not as a human being.
Sure.
Because I want God to relate with me, and, like, yeah.
So what, like, this God, these gods,
yes,
that are, like, it, why is it important to you that they be representative of human beings or humanity at large?
See, there's part of me that that's just like, you know what? Maybe they're not actually representative and then everything makes sense.
Yeah.
But in my brain, I guess I want restitution.
Justice.
And justice, yeah. Not justice in the way that I think that I've always been taught of as justice relating to God, right? Like burning the wicked. Not that. But more as in like justice of like a being who understands and like recognizes this vast array of experiences and also like will somehow make up for all of this.
Someone who judges,
mm-hmm.
but fairly.
Yes. And compassionately. Because I also have a hard time viewing this world as some kind of test or trial, and I don't really believe in sin, so then that complicates things a lot as well. And so I think that it's like I really want to imagine God being a representative of the world, but then there's also the fact that like what a God that represents the whole world let so much of themselves in the world be treated as they are.
Okay.
You know, like would they really let like one aspect, right? Like reign, I guess, supreme. But then there's also the fact that human beings are not under some spell put on by that God, and we are accountable for the fact that, okay, we have our own choices. See, so it's very complicated. And
sure.
I mean, all this stuff is.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so tell me about the things you have to believe, the things that just have to be true.
Things I have to believe.
In order for you to be okay.
To be okay. Yeah. This is a really hard question because I've entertained just so many possibilities. I think that I have to believe that human beings are innately good.
What does that mean?
Yeah. I think that we at our core, all outside influences aside, I think that we want to connect and bond with each other and like love each other. I have to believe that, or else it all just crumples and that I'm just this hopeless mess of dust at the bottom of a pit of despair, and it's really hard to put myself back together.
Okay.
So I have to believe that, and that at, like we're all like, whether or not it's manifested in reality, that we're all equal in that we like deserve all like equality, I guess.
Right on. So tell me, what are your sacred texts? Like, what are the books, the poems, the music, the movies, the television? What are the things that like that give you spiritual meaning?
The first thing that came to my mind, aside from the sacred texts that I grew up with,
which are
the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Bible, New and Old Testament, which as an English major, I still actually love to study.
And I do still benefit and like learn things spiritually for myself, but also it's just fun to like look at it from a literary point of view.
Do you regularly read the scriptures from the church you were raised in?
No. It's whenever I want. Okay. It's just like everything else.
Sure.
It's kind of like I go through phases where I'm like, huh, I really want to do that. Especially because there have been times in my life where like those were the go-to for any upliftment was like, I read this and every single time I could count on it. Like I could find something that's uplifting. A big part of that is because words in general are just super, like words are my connection to the divine. And so, I mean, technically I could read almost anything
sure.
and get a similar experience. But those were ones that I could always pretty much count on and being like on topic, on a topic that would get me thinking and pondering in this like meditative space where I could feel something like a connection.
Sure.
But I don't necessarily read them consistently anymore because there are also parts of them that are really hard for me to read that don't promote the kind of good natured like love that I believe we are as human beings. So, but the first thing that I thought of was my favorite poem. It's called Love by Billy Collins. And I love it.
What does it do for you?
It's, I think it captures like the simplicity of life and like the goodness in human beings. And it depicts just a scene that the poet witnessed on a train between just two, I guess in my mind I picture them as like teens who are young and in love, and just the way that Billy Collins writes about these people interacting with each other, I think is like the essence of that goodness that we are, like that we have within us, and that like, I guess I just am like amazed by human beings a lot. And he really beautifully depicts like looking at another human being and just being like, wow, that like they're amazing. And so that's probably my go-to.
Bruh.
I have it hanging up on my wall in my bedroom.
What else?
Dolly Parton.
Oh.
I love Dolly Parton. If I'm ever having a bad day, I'd listen to Dolly Parton and I'm like, it works faster than any prayer I've ever prayed, honestly.
Okay.
And I think that that's one thing that I've also learned about like spirituality and specifically mine is that it doesn't need to be as serious and I guess reverent as I've always thought of. I don't have to be this like stone cold, like very stoic, like quiet person for the sacred to interact with me at all. It can be fun and I can find this like upliftment. I can find the sacred in excitement and happiness and joy and even like loudness just as much as I can find it also in like the more quiet meditative moments of my life. And so I definitely would say Dolly Parton. All
so songs. What tracks?
Ooh.
What are your go-tos?
My go-tos. I have a Dolly Party playlist. That's what I call it. 9 to 5 I love because I just dislike capitalism.
Okay.
And so I feel like, because in my ideal heaven, that just, you just won't have to work. We'll just be able to do the things that gratify us just like deep in our souls. And I feel like Dolly speaks to that in 9 to 5. I'm like, that, she gets it. But so it's a classic and it's also just a lot of fun. I like Better Get to Live In. I remember when that one, it like played one time. I was having a rough day and it was like all of the like miracles that I've heard about over the pulpit. Add that. Add Dolly Parton's Better Get to Live In playing all of a sudden on my phone's on shuffle. Add it to that category because okay. It was just like, oh yeah, there's a whole life out there. And so I should maybe not keep ruminating in all of the stuff that I get so stuck in. I can go out and experience life and remember joy.
What else?
My other sacred texts?
Sure.
I really love poetry. So, I mean, classics. I like Emily Dickinson. I love how she writes specifically about faith is really cool because I think I have been able to recognize similarities with my own grapple and like wrestle with faith. In her, like I find that reflected in a lot of her poetry. I like Mary Oliver as well. How she writes about nature, because to me, nature and the sacred are very intertwined.
Tell me more about that.
Do a lot of my healing outside.
What does that mean? Healing.
Healing as in recognizing parts of myself that have been neglected or hurt and then doing the work to kind of repair myself. But nature, going out in nature, I think allows me to not have to work so hard at it and constantly be like, okay, I'm going to do A, B, and C to kind of combat my anxiety or my fear. It just kind of, I don't have to work as hard. So it's my refuge. I guess it's like it's the break from the hard work of healing in order to just kind of like exist and like breathe.
Okay. So,
which then in turn kind of helps me to do like the mental work of kind of repairing and like repatching, reframing the way that I think, I guess.
Do you feel like when you talk about like your experience of going out in nature to do this work, do you feel like it's the absence of culture and human beings and all of our stuff that's creating that space for you? Or do you feel like the world in nature is doing a thing, like adding a thing to it?
Probably both.
Okay.
Definitely the first.
Okay.
I am very, I was diagnosed with ADHD within the last year and so much makes sense now, but I just tend to kind of morph who I am into whoever people want me to be. And so separating myself from everyone else and just being alone with myself allows me to just like kind of figure out like what am I, who am I underneath all of these layers of people that are still parts of me but almost not necessarily the full truth, because I just, like I said earlier, I'm
wanting to help people and make people's lives better. And but I think I also do believe actually that by being in nature and like surrounded by like the trees and the plants and the dirt and all of that. I mean, my parents live basically in the mountains. And so when I say nature, I'm mostly thinking of like mountainous nature. But being around that, I do actually feel like there is kind of this like relationship that I have with nature that like fills me, and they like the nature itself kind of cleanses me. And
so like you're almost in a partnership.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Right on. Very cool. What are the things that you have no choice about loving? The things that you have to love?
I have to love people, which can be complicated.
Sure.
Because my relationship with the church now is... I don't really have like a ton of people that I have like grudges for or anything, especially relating to the church. But also people are very imperfect and people run the Mormon church. And so in my relationship with that, I have a very hard time sometimes with loving them, but it is also at the same time like my default. And
so before we go forward, to just clarify a little bit, you live in a place that is almost exclusively made up of Mormons.
Yes.
And so what you're describing is that like you love people and you want to be close to them, but that there's a barrier in the ambiguous relationship you have with the church. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, definitely. And part of my ambiguous relationship with the church is because of the parts of the church that are run by people.
Okay. And say more about that.
So the way that the church spends its money, the way the church and really actually just the people in charge of the church, the way that they use their power over the members to get specific. Well, I mean, okay, so there's the prophet who is thought of to be the one true prophet on the earth today. So obviously he has a lot of power. And so it's very hard when him and then his apostles, so the people who are supporting him, all represent a very specific kind of person.
Be specific.
Well, they're getting a bit more culturally diverse.
Okay.
But they're all old men.
Okay.
And it's hard to love them when I see the power that they have and how they're using it in a way that doesn't always promote love, especially between religions, between people who are different from the members of the church. But at the same time, I still feel like, and I think this is partially influenced my ambiguity with the church, is it has been easier for me to love those people by stepping back from just living
every single word that they say, I'm able to actually like love them and have compassion on them more than when I was listening to everything they said and doing everything they told me to do.
But that stepping back, both from like the leadership of the church and but also somewhat from your community, mm-hmm. that's in tension with like who you are, because mm-hmm. What you said is that like your inclination is to do the opposite,
yeah,
to like get close,
yeah, yes.
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that, like the conflict there of like wanting to be close and but also for your own spiritual needs having to keep people at a distance?
I think I've had to rethink a lot of what being selfish is, because I think that like sometimes I feel selfish for doing the things that make my life better.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. If it's selfish for considering my prosperity, or selfish even considering my current like family or my current community, the people who've always counted on me, right? And I've had to realize that not being myself is not going to serve or actually help anyone, because that's a lie. By not being myself, or, you know, stepping back from the things that are causing it so I can't truly live in my most raw form, I'm lying, but also I'm making it that much harder for other people to also live comfortably in the way that they are. And so even though I really have this urge to just get closer, it's out of comfort and fear of like the vulnerability of being of stepping back, and it's like the urge to move closer comes from my fear of all of a sudden just being on the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Sure.
But by being myself, I'm realizing that if this is a spectrum,
yeah,
I'm not necessarily in that place that I feared being, that works for some people, but I also knew wouldn't work for me. And so it's weird, because it's like, in order to combat my fear of extremes, I like
extremes in like
just ways of thinking.
Okay.
And extremes like religiously, like being like kind of like the all in, all out, black and white thinking. I guess I would have been afraid of distancing myself to the point where I would just be doing the opposite of whatever I was doing instead of intentionally living my life the way that I want to live it. And so the urge is to go in the the other extreme. And so it's kind of confusing, but
okay.
That's my best answer. Yeah. See if you can decipher what the heck I'm all trying right. to say.
No. So, like, what I'm hearing is that you're in this space, right, where you're not really fully committed to any one thing, and what you don't want to have happen is for you to be like creating new beliefs less as a reflection of who you are, and more as a reaction to the things that you don't believe anymore, or the things that you're trying to distance yourself from.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right on. What, like, given your current beliefs, given your current space, what do you feel compelled to do? Like, what? How does that translate to the way you live?
I think I feel compelled to learn. That's like the first word that came into my mind. And to just, I feel compelled just to gather more information before making any kind of decision.
Sure.
And by learning, I mean, like, yeah, learning about beliefs and stuff, but also even more than that, learning about people and learning about experiences that are different from mine that I can't really relate to, but are also, like, part of this whole, like, earth, like, existence on earth. And so I would say, like, listen and learn and listen to myself, to my needs, but also to the people around me who are living their own version of truth and who are, like, and it's just as valuable, and I can learn from, like, them too. I feel like that's what I'm called to do, because I get impatient, and I really like to just do, like, go, do things all the time. But right now I'm being called to just sit, and the ADHD in my brain does not want to do that, but I'm trying.
Yeah. Hold on. Okay. So moving forward, like, what's, like, given where you are right now, like, in your current beliefs, what's hard for you about living here as a believer?
I'm going to talk specifically about living in Utah.
Okay.
Because you already mentioned that
we
live here, and there's just a lot of Mormons. And the hardest part, I think, for me about being a believer, and especially existing in this, like, ambiguous place that I'm in, is feeling like that space is not valid because the people who are in the extremes are so loud.
Okay.
And so this, like, the loneliness that I kind of mentioned earlier of, like, am I the only person who's here? Is this allowed? Like, am I allowed to exist in this place of just not knowing yet and maybe never knowing? And it's hard, especially in Utah, because a lot of people know the rules for Mormonism.
Sure.
Mormons and people who have never interacted with the church. Well, that's not true, because it's hard not to interact with the church. But Mormons, but also people who grew up Mormon and are not anymore, people who have left the church and people who were never a part of the church. Everyone just kind of knows these rules. And so it's very hard to kind of try and, like, change my relationship with these rules and, like, the church and my own personal beliefs that are even outside of just the scope of the Mormon church, because I feel like I have a little bit of, like, an angel and a devil on my shoulder. I'm not gonna say who is who, because I don't care. That doesn't actually, it's not mad, it doesn't matter, but just people pulling in both directions when I'm actually very content with where I'm at here.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go in either direction. I don't want to leave the church. I don't want to have a calling in the church. And I just want to exist right here where I'm at. And so the hardest part is, since people know so much about the Mormon church here in Utah, feeling like either I'm this lost soul who they're trying to, like, bring back, or I'm just this small, ignorant girl who's learning and will eventually make her way out of the church. Both of those don't really validate my experience right now, or my happiness right now. And I guess I don't really need validation, but it is just lonely to be here and feel like no one really
no one really believes that this place actually exists.
Okay. Yeah. Do you feel like with everybody knowing, as you said, like everybody knowing the rules, that as you're like experimenting, because they know those rules, it might feel like everything looks like a commitment one way or the other?
Yes. Because they know the rules, and because the rules are very, like other people can see them. It's not so much an inner commitment as it is an outward expression.
Sure.
A literal, like, which is part of the church and what they want, right? Like, they want to be recognized as, not, I don't want to, anyway. Like, that is a purposeful thing.
Yeah.
But it is hard because I feel like one way or another, whether I do adhere to some of those rules, I guess, because I like them, mm-hmm. or whether I don't, there are going to be people on both sides who are making assumptions like, oh, she believes this, 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 and this. And it goes deeper than just, oh, she's wearing this or she's doing this. It's she's wearing this and therefore believes this whole list of things or doesn't believe this whole list of things. And so that's hard, like realizing that people will have preconceived notions of me, which is a thing everywhere you go. But I think that especially existing in my like weird place that I'm in, it's extra hard when I feel like people are so far off when they see me and make those judgments.
Okay. What do you feel like you need from your neighbors? Like the things that like that in order to be okay in your current place, in your current like belief system, mm-hmm. like what do you need from your neighbors in order to be okay?
I think I need them to not worry about me. Because that's a lot of what stands in my way of feeling comfortable to live in this ambiguous space. Like, I exist in it, but it's hard for me to outwardly, like, express that without worrying people. People on the whole spectrum, like we mentioned. And I mean, I can do my own work to like not care so much about worry, you know, making other people worried. But it's also hard when people vocalize their worries.
So it's less about like the feeling of people being worried and more about things that they're specifically doing. What are those things that they're doing that you want them to stop so that you could be okay?
Well, as far as that like worrying goes, how it manifests is in conversations that are trying to remind me of things that I used to believe, which it's very invalid because I remember that I used to believe those things and they really served me wonderfully then, and now I'm in a different space. And so those conversations are not helpful and also kind of get in the way of someone actually understanding me when they're just trying to push me back into that box. Because they're worried that I'm not living according to their beliefs. And so I think that that's like those conversations, I guess the worry often manifests in preaching and lecturing when I think just listening would probably cause a lot of the worry to go away, but also would give me what I need from my neighbors, which is just this like attempt to understand
rather than the assumption that they understand, and rather than like this attempt to save me. Either way, I feel like it's I think I get this on both ends of that spectrum that I talked about, where I'm existing in the middle, and it's hard on both ends, this like tug of war, feeling like I'm getting pushed and pulled in like so many directions by other people. And I just kind of want them to just, instead of pushing and pulling, to like take a break and listen to what I'm saying here in the middle, instead of trying to convert me either direction.
So kind of like underneath what I'm like, what a lot of what I'm hearing is that it almost feels like they don't trust you.
Yes.
To be able to make up your own mind, or to be like that your experiences aren't really valid, and yeah, that like they don't trust you to be able to do what's best for yourself. And that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You like what you need from your community is like is the trust that you can take care of yourself.
Yeah, I think so for sure. Especially because I have been.
Yeah.
And whether or not people are aware of it.
Yeah.
Because I may or may not feel comfortable expressing that. But it's still the truth. Like, it's not, I haven't been waiting to believe certain things.
Sure.
I've been believing them and living in this way on my own. And so, yeah, I want them to trust me so that I can live the same way, be the same person all around, and not have to try and kind of hide those parts of myself that would kind of make them not trust me, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. So this, this next question is kind of broad. But given all of this, given all of your experiences that we've talked about and your new beliefs and your like in the middle place, but also given the beliefs of your neighbors and them also doing the same kind of work, right? Mm-hmm. At least to some extent, everyone is kind of doing this work, right? How do we live together?
I think it requires a radical amount of compassion. I've learned a lot about compassion over the last like semester because we focused on it in a class of mine, and I've realized that it doesn't even require forgiveness fully. It's just recognizing that there's a lot more going on with people than you see, but also than you can actually understand, even if you were to know everything about someone. And I think compassion, and then going back to that last question, trusting people to make their own decisions and having compassion on them when those decisions don't necessarily line up with what you apparently, supposedly, would do in the same situation. And I think that those two things would provide for a safer place to explore beliefs and spirituality and just, I mean, a safer like world in general, yes, but like talking specifically about this, I don't think people would feel the need to cling so hard to things that they don't actually believe just out of fear, because they would have the trust and compassion of their neighbors
for to be able to trust themselves also to go and explore all that there is that they can possibly believe.
Excellent. Well, Miranda, thank you for letting me interview you.
Thank you.
And for joining us on the show. This has been a great conversation. And I hope to continue this off the air. But have a fantastic day.
I will. You too.
Is Anything Sacred Anymore? Is hosted and produced by Jay O'Day. Music by The Bargain Basement Butterflies. To hear more, go to thebargainbasementbutterflies.bandcamp.com. Thank you for listening.